الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن يكاد الذين كفروا ليزلقونك بأبصارهم لما سمعوا الذكر ويقولون إنه لمجنون وما هو إلا ذكر للعالمين سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything in the universe. Now the things that which exist in the universe can either be beneficial or harmful, or they can be neutral, but depending on its usage, beneficial or harmful. So Allah has created everything. Things will have benefit and they have harms. Now when you look into the books of Aqidah, they mention that, okay, we believe in Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets. In the books of beliefs and what we believe, they present arguments of why do we need prophets? Why is it not sufficient that we just believe in Allah? Why do we need prophets? And that is to mention that one, amongst the many reasons, one is that it's an actualized individual that you can see acting upon it. If it was an angel that was shown there, people would have an excuse to say, he's an angel. He can't commit, the angel cannot commit errors. So being human, that's amongst the wisdoms. Alongside that, there are other things, and one of them is that direction. That on the earth, whilst we're living here, there are many things which are harmful and many things which are beneficial. We require divine inspiration, we require divine command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who understands objective truth, who knows, who is all objective, to tell us what is beneficial and what is harmful. And the prophets are there to do that. لِمَصَالِحِ الدُّنْيَا, to guide people towards the beneficial things. The religion prohibits those things which are harmful. So, the prophets came for that, to direct us to what's beneficial and turn us away from which is harmful. Tawheed, that is what's most beneficial for us. Our akhir, our saviour. The hurma in many, many things of zina, etc. All these things that are impermissible, It's for our own well-being. Now, in these things which have benefits and have harms, they have the causes to the benefits and harms are sometimes visible or are invisible, or the unseen. Meaning, the visible things are, for example, we see fire burning, or something scientific, something observable. You recognize it. So because it's recognizable, it's observable, then people believe in it, it's there, it's apparent. Then there's the unseen, the realm of the unseen. For example, sakina. You know how I say that tranquility descends, rahmah descends. You can't see it. It's not something observable. It's something experienced. Angelic support, meaning the dua of the angels, the support of the angels, the effects of dua, the effects of the Qur'an. A person can be ill, takes no medication, can recite certain verses, and they're miraculously cured. Certain things like that. And amongst them is the evil eye, ayn, nadar, and black magic, sihr. Now as believers, we believe in the observable and the unseen. The seen and the unseen, we believe in both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. That we have made everything, and we've made it in measure, meaning in perfect amounts, in measure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. He is the one, he is Allah, who is the knower of the unseen and the seen, of the unseen, the invisible and the visible, of the observable. Meaning, there is the observable and there is the invisible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Qur'an, هُوَ دَلِّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. The Qur'an is a guidance for the muttaqeen, those who have taqwa. Who are they? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in the unseen. Quality number one, characteristic number one, they believe in the unseen. Now, how do we know, so epistemology, how do we know whether something is true or not? There are three ways. As a Muslim, we believe in these three things. Number one, sound deductions, meaning A is B, B is C, therefore A is C. Like for example, Zayd is a human. All humans are flawed, therefore Zayd is flawed. Simple, the conclusion like that. So that's sound deduction, sound analogy. That's one way. Number two, truthful statements. If somebody says something which is true, as something that which is observed, whatever, something that which is true, and there is no reason to disprove that, meaning it's not, the person isn't insane or anything. For example, the Quran, the Ahadith, the reports of the truthful, and we have the isnad, we have the chain to it, it's a truthful statement, and of somebody we have no reason to doubt their statement. So truthful statements. And number three, sound observations, you see something empiricism. But number two, evil eye, sihr, and these things are from number two. We don't see it. We can't exactly observe it. It's not something measurable. But it's the unseen, and we know that through the Quran, and we know that through the Sunnah, that it exists, therefore it exists. It's part of our epistemology, it's part of the source of our sources of knowledge. And now, I want to talk about the evil eye, nadhr. It's a spiritual disease, but it has destructive outcomes. See, sihr takes a bit more deliberation, takes a bit more effort to get there, to go to a magician, etc. But with evil eye, it's far more simple than that. I mean, it can happen much, much earlier before you get to that stage. And it's something destructive. It can cause poverty, it can cause illness, family division, worldly damage, and even possibly death. I'll show one hadith where it can even cause death. And this is, as I mentioned, that this comes under the second category of where it's through the ahadith and the Qur'an that we know it exists. And I'll explain certain verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِن يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ. That the kuffar, the disbelievers, when they hear the reminder, meaning the Qur'an, it seems as though they could almost make you, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, slip and harm you with their gazes, بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ, with their gazes. Indication towards Ayn. And I'll give you one comment, Ibn Kathir actually writes that. This ayah actually proves that the evil eye exists and its effect that it can, what it can cause. Causing Rasulullah to slip. If it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's intervention. A hadith on this regard. Al-aynu haqqun. Rasulullah starts with Al-aynu haqqun, Sahih Muslim. That the evil eye is a reality. It exists. Al-aynu haqqun. وَلَوْ كَانَ شَيْءٌ سَابَقَ الْقَدْ سَبَقَتْهُ الْعَيْنِ. I'll explain this part, but let me just first translate it. If there was something which could surpass taqdeer, could go against it, it would be the evil eye. Number one, nothing can go against taqdeer. Taqdeer is what's in the knowledge of Allah. Nothing can go against what's in the knowledge of Allah. We don't know what's in there. We don't know. So we act accordingly. But if anything had the effect, it would be that. To show, that doesn't mean it has the effect. It's just trying to show, the Rasulullah is highlighting, that the detriment and the effect of the evil eye. That if something had it, it would be that. Just to show how the effects of it. What's another effect of it? Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned, like, the commentary of this is that even a successful person could be destroyed because of this. He says, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ لَتُوقِعُ الرَّجُلُ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَصَدَ حَالِقًا ثُمَّ يَتَرَدَّى مِنْ. That the ayn is such a thing that a person can ascend a mountain by the will of Allah, but he can fall off just due to that. Meaning, well, it doesn't mean it's figurative to say that a person can become that successful, reach the apex, reach the highest point, yet the person can be his downfall just through that gaze. It can take a person. By the way, that narration is in أخرج Imam Ahmad وقال ابن عراقي إسناده رجاله ثقات. Another hadith mentions العين حق تدخل الجمل القدر والرجل القبر. That the عين is such a thing that the evil eye is such a thing that it can put a camel into the pot, meaning death, it's going to be cooked, put onto the pot, and it can take a man to the grave. The hadith mentions that. You can take the man to the grave. Meaning these are two direct references towards death that the evil eye can cause. Rasulullah in one hadith, I didn't know until last time I was checking this, the authenticity of this, that it's authentic, this narration. That أكثر من يموت من أمتي بعد قضاء الله وقدره بالعين. That the majority of people that will die from my ummah after the decree of Allah and taqdeer basically will be due to the evil eye. Majority of the people that will die will be due to that after those things. That doesn't mean that everything is done according to the predestination, but it's trying to show that the effect of the evil eye. How have the ulama explained it? How have they explained the evil eye? And parts of this when I was reading more and more, it was just mind-boggling. It's just a gaze of admiration, but could be due to envy. from someone of ill nature, somebody who has a spiritual disease, and it causes harm to the one being looked at. Imam Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentions this. Another commentary. It's such a thing that it starts with a sense of admiration. But that feeling is driven by a corrupt nature. You know how that people have seen that, you know, why is that person successful? Why don't I have that? It's not sufficient that, you know, they don't have, but they have that evil thing, that evil feeling within them, that ill feeling within them, and that inner negativity then releases through a single look or the person or thing. Sometimes, and this one part, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions, a person can do it to themselves. They can do it to themselves without knowing, or they come to others. When they look in the sight with ujub, with sort of pride or sort of thing, and they don't say, mashallah, they can even do it to themselves. He mentions this one point, that they can even do it to themselves. It can also be through jinns. And a historical example. The Umayyad Khalifa, Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik al-Marwan, he once admired his reflection in the mirror. And he was boasting about his youthful looks. Within a month, he died of his own pride. Sahal ibn Hunayf, radiallahu anhu. It can happen unintentionally, that's what my point. This was not intentional, this incident. During the time of Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, Amir ibn Rabi'ah admired his companion, Sahal ibn Hunayf, and while he was bathing, basically. And Sahal collapsed unconscious, he became unconscious. When Rasulullah when brought to Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, he asked Amir radiallahu anhu, angrily, why would one of you kill his brother? I mean, it's not deliberate, but if you see something that pleases you, say, may Allah bless you and barakallahu fi. Meaning, say something, barakallahu, like, may Allah bless you within there. Other words of mashallah, I'll get to certain remedies and protections that you can use. This narration, again, authentic. And Amir ibn Lawan was then commanded to wash parts of the body. It's one of the cures for it. And again, just some reminders. The evil eye doesn't happen except to the will of Allah. It doesn't happen. But you and I don't know what the will of Allah is. Sahal ibn Hunayf was a Sahabi. It happened to him. Sahal ibn Hunayf was a Sahabi and it happened to him. This is my point, that sometimes people say that, no, I have tawakkul and, you know, I'll upload things and nothing's going to happen. That's not how it works. We don't know what Allah's will is. So do not put yourself in such a situation. And I gave the example of sihr that happened to Rasulullah alayhi wasallam. The effects were there. And people say that, you know, oh no, I'll just have tawakkul. I said, if it happened to Rasulullah alayhi wasallam, what's to protect you and I? We've got to make sure in every scenario we keep ourselves protected. That doesn't mean that, you know, we become overprotected, you know, doubt everyone, become suspicious. That's not what I'm saying. That's definitely not what I'm saying. But certain points of, I get to, that don't upload your whole life on social media. Don't put every bounty you have in your life online. You don't know which gaze is going to affect, which gaze is, and you put it up there. Yaqub alayhi salam's advice to his son was, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك. This dream that you have to Yusuf alayhi salam, do not relate this story to your brothers. Do not relate this story to your brothers. And they are the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam. فَيَكِيدُ لَكِدَ Otherwise they'll plan, make an evil plan. And after he mentions that, sometimes, look, somebody can have a pure heart, but as he mentioned, Yaqub alayhi salam mentioned after that, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ الْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ That shaitan is an open enemy. He's an open enemy. And we don't know what can happen. Protect ourselves. We don't fall into extremes. We don't go to an extreme where we say, no, pure thing that, you know, I'll upload everything and nothing's going to happen to me. And we don't go to the other extreme either to say that, that's it, I'm going to keep everyone in suspicion. I'm not going to leave my house. Say in the four corners of my house, I'm not going to go to any relative's house because you know what? They might do something to the food and you know something's going to happen to me. Not that either. Neither extreme. Live, but again, and I gave certain remedies and protections that we can use. And again, part of this is, please, don't blame everything on sihr and ayn, on nadr. Anything that happens, you know, a child fails an exam, it's sihr. Somebody's done something. No, my child can't fail. Somebody's definitely done something. Not everything is due to that. Again, what are remedies and protections? I mentioned five things. Number one, daily supplications. Our a'mal. A'mal daily. Morning and evening. Certain ahadith, for example, one of them. Last three surahs of the Quran, mu'awwidhat, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ قُلْ هُوَ رَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ هُوَ رَبِّ النَّاسِ known as mu'awwidhat, those that which give protection. Aisha Allahu anha mentioned the narration of Rasulullah SAW, mentioned قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ and the mu'awwidhatain, last two surahs, in the morning and evening three times, will suffice you from everything. Another narration of Bismillah الَّذِي لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ اسْمِهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ I send on the reminders group, three times in the morning and evening will protect you from any affliction. So number one, daily supplication. There are much more, but keeping it simple over here. Number two, seeking blessings. Masha Allah, barakallahu lak, barakallahu feek. Just like the narration of Rasulullah mentions, Allah barakta. Why did you not seek barakah in there? So every time you see something, use the words of mashallah. Whether it's a child or anything, you say, oh, that's so cute, mashallah. Add something to it. It's easy to praise, but add these things, mashallah, barakallahu lak, barakallahu feek. Add these words of seeking blessings within there to protect. Number three, many will be doing anyway, but praying Fajr Salah. The person who performs his Fajr Salah, فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ, Rasulullah mentions that he is in the protection of Allah. He's in the protection of Allah, performing Fajr Salah for the males that perform it with Jama'ah in the masjid. Number four, keeping your blessings private. Do not relate everything. I'll give you two instances from Yaqub alayhi salam. The first one I mentioned already, Yusuf alayhi salam, that he's told Yusuf alayhi salam, لَا تَقْصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ, that this dream you've had, do not relate it to your brothers. فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدَ, otherwise they'll devise a plan. Second incident, that when they were entering the city, he said to them, لَيَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِنْ بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ, do not enter from one door. And he said, وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ اللَّهِ, I can't do anything which Allah has decreed for you. I have tawakkul upon him, but we will take the measures. Because they were strong, they had a good family unit, people would look at that, and it's possible that the evil gaze could happen, and something happens. So he said, to avoid that, all of you do not enter from one door as you're entering. So again, keeping your blessings private. Do not upload everything on social media. It's very tempting, showing everything we have, but it only takes one glance, and who knows how detrimental that could be to us. And finally, number five, seeking refuge in Allah, making dua. Constant connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through dua and tawakkul. With dua, be reliant upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue living our lives. Don't fall into extremes where we suspect everyone, or the other extreme of where, yeah, I'll upload my entire life. Nothing's going to ever happen. Moderation. Don't upload everything. Don't mention everything to everyone. And have that tawakkul and live our lives normally. Again, I'll just end on these five points. That number one, daily supplication. Daily supplication of Bismillah الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم, three times in the morning and the evening. قل والله أحد, قل يا رب الفلق, قل يا رب الناس, at the minimum in the morning and evening. Number two, when you see something good or something that stinks, say بارك ما شاء الله وبارك الله لك وبارك الله فيك, to protect from the evil eye. Sometimes we don't realize that, remember I mentioned that sometimes it's not even done with an ill nature. It's not done with an ill nature, but it can still happen. Be very, very, very wary. Number three, performing Fajr Salah. For the males, especially in the masjid, the person who performs Fajr Salah, man salla subha fahuwa fi dhimmati Allah, he is in the protection of Allah. Number four, keeping your blessings private. Do not upload our lives everywhere. People don't need to know about all of our bounties. And number five, finally, seeking refuge in Allah, making dua and connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having that reliance upon Him. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection, constant protection from all illnesses, all afflictions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all true understanding and tawfiq. Just one point before I conclude. Tomorrow, inshallah, we have two programs. One from 2 till 4 for the young girls, aged 6 to 16. It's a fun day from the back entrance to on the female side for the younger girls. The female youth coordinator has arranged an event day for them. And for the males and females in the evening, is a program on honor and identity. Honor and identity and eyewitnessing account of Syria and Afghanistan, whole presentation after Maghrib Salah. All are encouraged to participate.